Hi there. Welcome back to another episode of Comunicado Oficial. Welcome to another episode on the 70th minute mark. Thank you guys for listening this far. If you've been with us for the last 5 days, thank you very much for listening to us. I know 20 minutes might be too much to ask of you, but 20 minutes well spent with us. I appreciate it so much, and I thank you guys for listening so far, and I'm happy to see what's happening. Honestly, it's been amazing creating this content. It was such an amazing idea to do this because I've missed talking about football with this long break that we had, and it's been good to speak a lot about all of this. Honestly, it's been good to analyze teams in 20 minutes, talk about what's going on and what's not going on, and in the future we're going to continue this on other teams, or we'll come back to these teams in the future and everything. And it's such an amazing segment, and I look forward to creating more content on the 70th minute mark and overall. Yeah, like I said, more I doing work. Check out all our content on all podcast streaming platforms. Check out all our social media accounts in the link in the description as well too. And our YouTube channel as well too. Like I said, visuals will be returning back this coming week when we record a new episode, speaking on the last week's action and everything. So yeah, more or less we will be back soon. We'll be back to fully scheduled program with many people on the show, with guests, with different opinions, any more. So today, I'm sorry, just a disclaimer, if I sound very biased, just know I'm speaking the truth still, because I'm speaking it from a perspective of trying to give the benefit of the doubt, but still being proven right. Today, I have 20 minutes to talk about Tottenham Hotspur, and I'm going to go in right now, and my time starts now. Mr. Daniel Levy, I wanted to ask you one question. What was the reason? Why? What was the reason? So, yeah, Tottenham Hotspur, 7th in the league, Harry Kane, Jose Mourinho, Son, Ndombele. In all of this, I'm just going to say this. Bread is bread, cheese is cheese. Jose Mourinho is still finished. And that's all I can say. Bread is bread, cheese is cheese. Jose Mourinho is finished still. So, yeah, I'm just looking at every single thing that has happened this season and how we are so quick to jump. How, as football fans, we're so quick to jump on, like, oh, this could happen, this could not happen. But generally speaking, I still saw all of this coming. You know, at the beginning of the season, I saw Tottenham Hotspur scoring goals, even the 6-1 defeat, the 6-1 win when they won against United. I was just like, and he stung me because it's Jose Mourinho and Tottenham Hotspur in the history of the Tottenham. Like, it was literally, it stung me deep. And it was on my birthday too, so you can imagine the kind of anger I've been. It was a lot. But yeah, in all of this now, speaking unbiasedly, Tottenham Hotspur were doing well at the beginning of the season. They were playing football and, like, they sat back, soaked up pressure, scored goal and sat back, scored goal, sat back and everything. But the one thing I always, like I said, XG as a metric is so beautiful. So once you finally apply it well and understand it well, Tottenham were outdoing their XG so much. They were scoring goals that shouldn't have been scored. They were, like, other teams, like, the keeper was, the opponent was probably going to score easier goals and goals that should have scored. So, basically, the way they were playing at the beginning of the season was not sustainable. They would score with one chance and sit back. Score a beautiful goal. Like, for instance, look at Son's goal against Arsenal. On a normal day, let's say, it's not meant, it's sometimes it doesn't go in, sometimes it goes in. But, like, the XG of that goal was quite low because, like, it wasn't really expected and all of that. So, if you look at all of these things, it just shows that the football was not sustainable. And the thing with Jose Mourinho's football is that when he's working, you see it. You see that, man, this might not work every single time, but you're winning and you're saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. But once it's not working, it's appalling to your eyes and to your body and to your senses. So, I just want to understand I knew all of this is coming. Then once Tottenham are the only team to drop almost, they've dropped more than 20 something points, almost 25 points or 26 points from winning positions. That is to show that they will score, but they'll go back to defend and lose and score, and the other team will score. Because why? You're meant to be on the front foot. Tottenham Hotspur were always on the front foot under Pochettino, but in this football, they score and they sit back. There's no urgency in their play. There's no anything, and it's all dependent on being sitting back and expecting the attackers to do something. And when they need to score, they look disjointed because they don't know how to play attack on the attacking front. All well and good. Harry Kane has had another 20 goal season. This is being recorded right after the Everton match and everything. So Harry Kane has scored 21 goals in the Premier League, and he has scored I think 30 goals in all competitions or more. That is a good season. And under Mourinho, one thing I always give Mourinho is that strikers will always score under him. Strikers score under him, and that's what I'm saying. It's just based on the counter attack football. Strikers will always score under him. But it's that part of the strikers will score. But when it comes to defending part, it's not working. And this thing used to work in the past a lot. But Tottenham Hotspur's squad is not good enough. Which brings me back to my question. Why did Daniel Levy hire Mourinho? I don't know. Like, it seems it's just stinginess in my own eyes. Because all Pochettino was asking you was this. Okay, boss. We just got to the Champions League final. Now, I've outdone myself. Now we can go to the next step. Let me tell you something. Mauricio Pochettino is the reason Jose Mourinho is Tottenham Hotspur's coach, because nobody in their right mind would have been Tottenham Hotspur's coach if Mauricio Pochettino was there. Jose Mourinho would not be a Tottenham Hotspur coach if not for Mauricio Pochettino. And he outdid himself. That squad is now everyone, now that the situation is that everyone is like, oh, the squad is not good enough. Yeah, it's not the same thing Pochettino was asking. Pochettino was saying that these players have reached the end of the cycle. Move this player on. Move Eric Dier on. Move all these players on. But now, because Daniel Levy said, you know what, we've not won a trophy with this team, let me bring in a serial winner. Obviously, Mourinho will always bring up his accolades that I'm that guy. Like, yeah, all respect to you. Growing up, bro, I used to be scared because Mourinho would always win. And knowing that always made me have, like, that envy that this is a winner. But when you now finally realize that what Mourinho brings with him when it comes to winning, you just realize that it ain't worth it, bro. It ain't worth it. Like, look at what is happening in Tottenham. Like, Daniel Levy, Pochettino was saying, let's go buy more players. Now this same squad that you guys are saying that is good enough should be doing something. Mauricio Pochettino was using well with that squad, but Mourinho cannot do the same thing with that squad. They're not even qualified for Europa. They're in the Europa Conference League position at this point now. After this thing, they just drew against Everton. So it's hard to say what Daniel Levy was thinking. And on the fact that he now put in his 40 million per year contract, that means that severance package is going to be humongous. And I have to give something to Mourinho. Everywhere he goes, after he leaves, he goes with a proper paycheck, man. Chelsea, when they sacked him, he got 8.1. United, when they sacked him, he got 19.6 million as severance package. If Tottenham Hotspur sack him, according to TFO Football reports this morning, the likelihood of them paying him is almost going to be close to 25-30 million pounds. For reference, let me think of a player that cost him. Steven Bergwijn cost around 20-25 million pounds. So it's the price of Steven Bergwijn that they're going to pay him as severance package or more. So you can see the how it's quite mad. The thinking behind hiring Mourinho for me was not wise. I understand Pochettino had to leave. Like, yeah, they needed a refreshing and everything, like, for something to happen. But bringing in Mourinho, knowing fully well the things that he brings and everything. And obviously, Mourinho is bigger than Tottenham Hotspur. That is the truth. And I thought that would be the thing that would drive the players forward to say, okay, this guy has won something. He has won this. He has won that. Because that's what influenced him in his time at Chelsea. Play unknown players, all of that. All these smaller squads, even in Porto. Like, that's why people were willing to die on him, because they knew that he was listening. But when they realized that now players are more sensitive, players know that, what are you talking about, fam? Like, why are you moving mad like this? So, like, in all of this, Mourinho has always been the... Mourinho is just an issue. And I'm glad, like, because it felt like vindication, because when I said at the beginning of the season that Mourinho will give you something, but he will come with chaos and he will leave you in a more chaotic state. Because, yes, he's going to drag out the remaining part of you. It's like Tottenham were at the end of their toothpaste when Pochettino was sacked. And Mourinho just came to, you know, when you're trying to scrape the remove the remaining, like, push out the remaining so that I can use to brush your mouth. That is what Daniel Levy was trying to do by bringing Mourinho in. And the thing is that sometimes that toothpaste might not be enough. And that's what is going on here. And also because maybe the person doesn't know how to brush their mouth, and that might be Mourinho here in this situation. So I'm sorry, that might be a bad analogy, but in all of this, I just think it was such a bad decision to bring on Mourinho. And look at what's happening in Tottenham Hotspur. They went out of the FA Cup losing to Everton 5-4, high scoring game, which was quite dubious, honestly. Like, to see what was happening, I was just like, this game was just, it was just chaotic. And also Everton on their own are just chaotic. Everton promised to do something but just fail. Every single time. They signed good players, then we see like, oh, these guys. At a point, I was just like, Everton were in our discussion for top seven. Obviously, and they're still there, honestly. They're still in the they are in eighth place with a game in hand and everything, which means they have a chance to come to Europa Conference League, as they call it, and all of that. But look at where Tottenham is. You can't tell me that Tottenham should not at least be much, much closer to top four. I just think we now need to come to a point where we need to actually analyze that Mourinho might be finished. Mourinho might be finished. Like, he's not. If you read reports on what the players think about him, like, in what is happening in the athlete, like, if you read on The Athletic what they're saying, players are tired of his training methods. Players are just, like I said, because he uses the tactical periodization, he's more or less focusing on the team and focusing on the opponent team. So every day their training is based on that. Every day their training is based on the opponent, not on their squad and everything. And it's not as good as, because players have played under Pochettino and have played under Mourinho, and they finally say that, man, this ain't it. Like, we were playing better under Pochettino, we're playing under this and all of that, but now it's just like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Like, why we don't know how to play on the front foot? If you look at Tottenham, there is no form of compactness in the defense when they are defending. It's just like, once you sustain pressure against Tottenham, they will eventually break. Because they don't know how to handle the ball. They just give you the ball and expect to counter-attack. Now, Son Heung-min, I have to bring something about you. There's something about him that guy is a sneaky, sneaky little guy. He does the worst, but we don't talk about him because he's always smiling. I'm just going to put that out there. Son, you're very dubious. You're very dubious in all of that. But it's just that we don't talk about him like we talk about Lamela. Lamela is a madman and all of that. But Son does that, I want to. And to speak on Son too. Son is 29, fam. Like, Son is going to be 29 in July. Let's just put that out there. Son is going to be 29 in July, which means there is all, like, what other time does he have anymore? Like, 29 in July and everything. And Son always has purple patches where he scores and scores and scores. And we saw in the beginning of the season when he was scoring, scored four goals against Southampton, scored against United, scored against all these teams. He was scoring, and though, like I said, his XG was very, very high. But now, those XG, because Son has never been a prolific goal scorer, and his time was always going to come when the XG finally flattens, when he finally become normal. That is how Son was going to work. And it's amazing to see how it was not going to be sustainable from the start. But everyone was like, oh, Mourinho proves to this, Mourinho proves to that. But it's good to see what is happening now, because we can now see that there was an issue here. Like, these things are not sustainable. And look at their goal scorers. After Harry Kane and Son, the next goal scorers is probably on less. Like, we're talking about small figures and all of that. They called Brighton Carlos Vinicius. We can't really see him and all of that as a backup striker. Now, Kane looks set to be injured. Hopefully not for the Euros, because I like England as the squad. But overall, I just can't see what Mourinho. Let me give you this now. Mourinho at Spurs is just Mourinho at United. The way, you know how we have a dividing fan base in Tottenham Hotspur that, oh, Mourinho is a winner, give him space, the players are not good enough, this is not that, the media is turning against him. Every single thing is deja vu. I have seen this over and over again. The football that they play, the sitting back. Hugo Lloris is having a fantastic season where he's doing premium saves, where he's doing that. Cough, cough. Where does that point back to? David De Gea. When David De Gea was having that madness of a season where he was just saving. If for reference, go back to that Arsenal versus Manchester United, that 3-1 win at the Emirates. That is how Hugo Lloris looks, although Tottenham are still conceding because, like, in the end of it all, like, Tottenham are Tottenham. It's always in the history of the Tottenham. They will promise to do something. Shout out to Chiellini for that quote anyways. But Harry Kane's future as well, too. Harry Kane is a king. Harry Kane is a baller. Like, Harry Kane has become, like, I've never seen such a complete striker, like, bringing others into the squad, playing, moving around. He became a complete player, and I cannot lie to you. I give credit to that one for Mourinho for bringing out that part of him that he becomes a playmaker. He can bring in, and he also like, obviously, his finishing has always been always something to write about. But now, Harry Kane wants to win. Harry Kane is 28. He wants to win something, and I would love him at United. I would definitely love him at United, but Man City will also, like, if Harry Kane goes to Man City, or if Haaland goes to Man City, like I said, we already look like farmers in that league. We might as well just move like farmers on, because, like, that's just cherry on the icing on the cake. But Harry Kane doesn't seem to want to stay at Spurs. But the point is, who will buy him? Remember, we're in a panoramic. Who is going to, like, clubs are suffering losses. So I just think, like, signing again. I don't know why players sign long-term contracts like this. Where you're signing, I think it was in 2018 or 2017 that he signed. But I know his contract share runs to 2024. Where he signed a six-year deal, that is 2018. Why are you signing a six-year deal, fam? Well, I know it was under Pochettino, but why are you signing a six-year deal? It's the same thing that we have with Jack Grealish. Why are you signing a five-year deal? With Zaha, to this day, he's angry. He's regretting that he signed a contract that long that is keeping him Crystal Palace. And that is the same thing. Like, who are you people's agents, man? Like sign short-term, sign two-year extension, three-year extension, but why sign a five-year extension deal, fam? Like, relax. I know you want to get the bag, but you always have to find your way out. And that's one thing. Release clauses, obviously, they'll never agree, but signing a six-year new deal, come on, fam. Harry Kane is the one that puts himself in issues, and I don't know. Do you think Daniel Levy will want him to go? Even Daniel Levy, you remember when he wanted to sell? Eriksen has 6 months left on his contract, but he got 20 million euros out of it from Inter. But now look at it. To sell Harry Kane, his most prized asset, the best player the best player for the last decade. Do you know what he's going to cost? I don't see anybody paying for him, and Harry Kane is stuck there, honestly. Harry Kane is just stuck. I don't know how he's going to do it, honestly. I think he's just going to have... And no matter what everyone is saying, like, I know reports have been, like, Harry Kane wants to leave. He does want to leave, but no, who is going to find that money, fam? Who is going to find that money? It is well, Sha, but in all of this, Tottenham still... Yeah, oh, shout out to them for losing to a team whose manager was in prison. Like, bro... You're losing to a manager who got sacked on Sunday. The team who is playing without a manager, they're doing free my guy or something like that. Hashtag free my guy from prison. And you guys are losing. You're losing to Michael Schofield, fam. How? From a 2-0 lead, you guys dropped. Do you know how bad that is? Like, you're losing to a team whose manager is in prison. You had a 2-0 lead from your home and you went and just fell apart. That's just in the history of the Tottenham, honestly. That's just what we call it. It's the history of the Tottenham. You don't like it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see at the least to see that kind of happen, to lose to such kind of team when you knew. And everyone tries to compare it to how, like, Mourinho won the Europa League with United and he came sixth. That's the thing. He came sixth. Others win the Europa League and probably come fourth or fifth and everything, but he's coming sixth. And now, the Europa League, I'm sure, I remember at the beginning of the season, we said he had to probably choose between the league and the Europa League. Now the Europa League is gone. And the league, they don't look like they want to play. The players don't play on the front foot. It just looks boring and like United. when he went under him. And honestly, he's always going to cause chaos. Players are not on his side. Dele Alli, De Rossi, the fringes, like what Pogba said today in that interview with the Sky Sports that everyone is talking about. He just puts you aside and behaves like you don't exist. That's not normal. Like, that's madness. And now that's what he's doing to the fringe players. And now, like, there's so much... There's that disharmony in the squad where the players are just confused on what to do. It just reminds me of United so much. And I just keep on saying that Daniel Levy did not learn. Daniel Levy, I don't know what it is, but now that 30 million, if I probably used to buy one player. But you gave him a huge... Well, that's the thing. You wanted to bring a winner to win. You win the Carabao Cup. No disrespect to the Carabao Cup, but it's just beer cup. Like, how much is he going to win? You just say that you won the Carabao Cup in this time. But you're even facing against the biggest team in England who look like not losing any game once they go into it. I don't see, like, if you now lose the Carabao Cup final, trust me, what's the whole point of this? You sold your soul for a hope for, that is, Daniel Levy sold his soul to win the Carabao Cup. Gave 40 million to win the Carabao Cup. That's just what it means. And if you don't win it, at what cost? And what would even hurt more? Pochettino winning the Champions League with PSG. It will fulfill my agenda. Don't get me wrong. It will fulfill my agenda that Pochettino was a good coach, is a good coach. And like someone said, Pochettino is the metric that is measuring people's opinions. If you tell me he hasn't won any trophy, like I always say, trophies cover paper up the cracks. Winning the Carabao Cup is papering over the cracks of what is happening in Mourinho right now. So in the end of it all, Tottenham are a mess. And bread is bread, cheese is cheese. Jose Mourinho is still finished. He's finished. I don't know what his future holds, but maybe he should just go to Portugal. But in the end of it all, Tottenham Hotspur looks set to not qualify for Champions League. Looks set to be in the Conference League because, let's be honest, not everyone is going to be losing points above them this season. And it's really, really... It's just sad to see. But at the same time, we can't say we didn't see it coming. Yeah. That concludes my time. 20 minutes to speak on Jose Mourinho and Tottenham Hotspur and what a failure. It's just not been it. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Comunicado Oficial. Thank you for spending just this little 20 minutes or so to just listen to what we have to say on Tottenham Hotspur. And I hope... this is the sixth one. Tomorrow is the last day for the Comunicado for the 70-minute mark segment of the show. We just speak on West Ham and Leicester, and I'm just gonna use 10 minutes to speak on either club because I just wanted to just give you that last one as well too. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Comunicado Official. Like, subscribe, share on our YouTube channel, rate on Apple Podcast. Go check out all on Spotify, on everything, on all podcast streaming platforms. Engage with all our social media. Like I said, all info is available in the link in the description. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. See you tomorrow as we discuss Brendan Rodgers and Backstreet Moyes.